WNYC Studios is supported by Dana-Farber Cancer Institute. What if we could block a protein to stop runaway cell division? Dana-Farber laid the foundation for CDK4/6 inhibitors, drugs that are increasing the survival rate for many advanced breast cancers. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Well, when pop singer Beyoncé performed in Atlantic City's new Revel Casino Resort this past Memorial Day, it was one more indicator that after years of declining profits, the area is set on a revival. But revivals aren't new to Atlantic City. The story behind its most publicized comeback efforts in the mid-90s involved two relentless real estate giants, New York's very own Donald Trump and Vegas casino tycoon Steve Wynn. Richard Skip Bronson has written a new book, The War at the Shore, where he recounts some of the mudslinging between the two men to mark their territories in Atlantic City, but also looks at the bigger picture of what it meant for the area. Skip Bronson, welcome to WNYC.
Thanks, Brian.
And you were an insider during this time. You've had some contact with both, but I guess you worked mostly for Steve Wynn as a developer on his team. Should we assume that you're coming down here just a tiny bit more favorable to Wynn than to Trump as a starting point?
Well, not really. Actually, this whole saga started back in 1991 when Steve Wynn and I tried to develop a casino project in my hometown of Hartford, Connecticut. And we worked for years to turn the sort of sentiment around from an anti-casino mode to a pro-casino mode. And then because of a corrupt government with a governor who ultimately went to prison, John Rowland, we were rebuffed. We then went to Atlantic City in 1995. And you have to understand that at that point in time, almost all casino gambling was taking place in either Nevada or in Atlantic City, New Jersey. It wasn't like today where we have casinos in 40 states. And at the time, Donald had three casinos that were up and running and wasn't keen on the idea of Steve Wynn coming to town. And in order to develop this piece of property that we had in mind, we needed to create a tunnel that would go below a middle-class black neighborhood and require the removal of a number of homes, actually nine homes. And if you look at the dynamic, you had Donald Trump and Arthur Goldberg, who owned Bally Casinos, both wanting this project not to happen. And then you had the neighborhood where there were issues there. You put that together, and it was a recipe for a war, and that's exactly what we had.
And, of course, property development anywhere involves a lot of political connections at every level. Had you or Mr. Wynn developed those relationships before he came here?
Well, actually, Steve had a casino in Atlantic City called the Golden Nugget that he opened in 1978. It was extremely successful. He sold it years later. And this is almost the law of unintended consequences. We met Governor Christy Todd Whitman, and she was very aware of the type of projects that Steve had done, like the Mirage in Las Vegas, and then, of course, the Bellagio. And she said that she'd love to see that type of development in Atlantic City. And it was interesting because in the book I talk about the fact that after we were turned away in Connecticut, Steve said, look, I've got an easy assignment for you. Go to Atlantic City, you'll be welcomed with open arms. And, of course, just the opposite occurred.
Wynn's vision involved millions of tax dollars, thousands of jobs, the potential destruction of those residents' homes that you mentioned. He had a lot of support from New Jersey politicians, Christy Todd Whitman, the most prominent. How much ammunition did this all provide for Trump, who was set on keeping Wynn out of Atlantic City?
Well, Donald, at the very end of the day, Donald is a great businessman. I mean, he's known as a big brand builder. He's known as a real estate developer. He is a very formidable opponent. You don't want to go up against this guy. He fights hard. And Donald was protecting his turf. It's not really all that unusual when you think about it. Actually, some of the tactics were unusual. And Like what? Well, I mean, you know, there was an initiative to try to get the people in the community to turn against this project. But the people remembered Steve Wynn, and they remembered that he was a great employer, and they wanted the jobs. But there was another group that was looking at this as a case of a black versus white type of a situation. And it really intensified over a period of years. This went on for more than 4 years. And there was a lot of mudslinging, and Donald was on radio talking badly about Steve, and Steve was on radio saying some unkind things about Donald, and then it sort of took on a life of its own.
Now, you paint a backdrop of Atlantic City during this time as one of power player backroom deals, political favors, and public attacks. If we look at how Atlantic City is portrayed in the entertainment media in shows like Boardwalk Empire, is that an accurate portrayal, and has it changed much since, you know, the 30s and the 40s of that HBO series?
Yeah, I mean, that's television. That's not reality. And look, any city that you go to, there is going to be an interesting political dynamic. Atlantic City is more interesting than others. You've got a situation where billions of dollars are being transacted on the boardwalk, and then just yards away you have people living in squalor. You know, in an ideal world, all of the gaming taxes that were paid in Atlantic City, a significant portion of them would have been left behind to fix up Atlantic City. But the casinos actually employed more people than they ever projected, paid more taxes than they ever projected. The difficulty for Atlantic City over time has been because of the complicated political situation. When places like Philadelphia open casinos, which they have, Atlantic City needs to give the people a reason to go there other than just gambling. And it hasn't really taken advantage of a lot of its natural resources.
Wynn got the land for a dollar, didn't he?
Correct.
How?
Well, what happened was the city took this piece of property, which was originally known as the H Tract, and ultimately became known as the Marina District. And they were so interested in getting someone to come in and invest over $1 billion, they in essence said, we will put the land up for free as our commitment to this new project. And Donald wanted to use the land as a golf course. He wanted to develop a golf course as an amenity for his existing casinos. Steve came in with obviously a much different vision. But it's not totally unusual to see a community contribute land in order to get massive capital investment.
My guest on WNYC is Skip Bronson, author of the new book, The War at the Shore, Donald Trump, Steve Wynn, and the Epic War to Save Atlantic City. This is taking place in the 90s, this war, if you're just joining us. So now we fast forward to 2000. Wynn wins the battle to build his dream casino in Atlantic City, and he sells his company, Mirage Corporation, to MGM. How come, and what was your reaction?
Well, MGM came in and made a big offer to buy the company, and Steve has always looked after his shareholders and negotiated a very, very favorable price to sell the company, and went on to certainly bigger and better things in Las Vegas and in Macau. At the same time, I certainly wouldn't call Donald the loser in any of this, because the irony of this is that when the tunnel was ultimately built, the very first exit went right into Donald's hotel, the Trump Marina. And Donald didn't spend any money for the tunnel. We were making a contribution of $110 million toward the $330 million tunnel. Donald didn't put up any money and wound up being a big beneficiary of it. So it's sort of interesting. Today, Steve and Donald and I are all friends. Donald and I play golf. We talk on the phone a lot. And these are two men who have the ability to fight a war, but when it's over, it's over.
But you were working for Wynn at the time. The success of a developer is to develop, and that actually did not happen here after all that fight, right?
Well, it did. Actually, it resulted in the development of the Borgata, which was going to be a 50-50 joint venture between Mirage Resorts and Boyd Gaming. But what happened when we sold the company, MGM stepped into our shoes, and MGM became the 50-50 partner with Boyd Gaming in what has become the most successful casino resort in Atlantic City. The Borgata has been a very profitable venture.
But how different was that from Steve Wynn's original vision?
It was different, but it's still a first-class resort property. I mean, Steve does things in a better way than anyone else, and he's very imaginative, and a lot of people like to copy his ideas, but as he likes to say, if you're copying me, you're always one song behind. But I don't think Boyd Gaming nor MGM have anything to apologize for in the Borgata. It's a beautiful hotel.
Have you been following the casino debate in New York State? Governor Cuomo wanted to put a big new casino out by the Aqueduct Racetrack. That deal fell through. Mayor Bloomberg would rather have one built in Manhattan. Are you paying attention to this out in Beverly Hills where you live?
Well, I am. I'm still in the casino business, and I develop casino projects in various places. And obviously, New York is the big prize. So you here's a double negative. You can't not pay attention to what's happening in New York. I think the whole dynamic of Genting and what they've done at Aqueduct and the jobs they've created and the additional tax revenue that's being generated as a result of their great success has made people sit up and take notice. Now, it's only a video lottery terminal facility now.
So which far.
Yeah, slot machines to the customer. The video lottery terminals play the same as a slot machine. But I would imagine that much like Pennsylvania, when they first legalized slot machines, then over time, the casino companies went to Governor Rendell and said, listen, Governor, you like all this money we're able to pay you? We can pay you a lot more money if you'll let us put table games in. And that's exactly what happened. So I would imagine the same thing will happen there.
Do you have an opinion as to whether that's too remote a location? I think one of the mayor's objections is there's just not going to be the tourism traffic out to that part of Queens.
Well, I think it serves a different market. It's not necessarily a tourist location. I think a well positioned integrated casino resort in New York City could be a fabulous boon to the city, and it's why you're seeing mayors around America considering the same type of development. Just makes sense for a whole series of reasons.
I want to reference the subtitle of your book, Donald Trump, Steve Wynn, and the Epic War to Save Atlantic City. And obviously you're in the casino business. You're writing a lot about, you know, the business, the battle of these business titans back in the day. But what about the battle to save Atlantic City? Because a lot of folks say for all the casino development, for all the government and business PR that's gone into casino development as the route to improving Atlantic City for the people of Atlantic City, it's never really crossed the street.
Yeah, looking at Atlantic City today, again, you cannot look at Atlantic City and not consider the feeder market. And certainly the Philadelphia area, depending on who you talk to, has been responsible for up to 40% of all of the casino volume in Atlantic City. So now that they've legalized casinos in Pennsylvania, you have additional casino gambling in New York State. You obviously have Mohegan Sun and Foxwoods in Connecticut. There's intense competition. And Atlantic City will be back, and Atlantic City will figure out a way to use its natural resources to play upon the fact that it has this vast, expansive beach. You know, you've got Governor Christie, who's just fantastic, and the governor is committed. He's not walking away from Atlantic City. So it's going to take a lot of thought and a lot of energy, but it'll be back.
And we have to leave it there with Richard Skip Bronson, his new book, The War at the Shore, Donald Trump, Steve Wynn, and the Epic War to Save Atlantic City. Thank you so much for coming in and talking about it.
Thank you.